Right now, speaking of a bevy of local news, we've got Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library joining us here in the studio. Happy day after 4th of July.
Indeed. And to you, good sir.
Thank you
so much.
Happy
July 5th.
Yes.
It was fun last night at the fireworks.
It was, yeah. Did you stay for the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we come early and stay late, baby.
Yeah.
The Browns are in it to win it on July 4th.
How does it compare? You've been to a number of cities. How does Chapel Hill compare?
So, you know, when we first moved here and I heard about this, you know, amazing fireworks and ranked in the top 10, I was
right.
like, top 10, schmop 10. I'll believe it when I see it. And I love fireworks.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I love fireworks. And the first year, I was like literally jaw on the floor. I
it's
was like,
real
this
cool.
really is amazing fireworks.
Yeah.
And I love just all of it, the whole the watermelon eating contest to the band to it's just great. I love it.
It's just a lot of fun. Everyone wearing the glow sticks, and every year it seems to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Like they were showing pictures.
It was a big crowd last night.
A huge crowd, right? Like they filled half a Keenan Stadium.
And so we also love to go and sit and watch the firefighters work, how they spray off everything.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it seemed last night there was like a little mini flame that somebody went. Did you see?
I don't think it was normal. No.
When the fireworks were going off, there was a little flame down below, and I think I saw a like Chapel Hill firefighter go
like
up and kind of take care of it,
yeah.
but nobody noticed because they were so good.
Of course.
But we love the whole thing, so it was great,
yeah.
and it's great to have so many partners, WCHL and the university and all the sponsors.
It was a few years ago where I think not all of the fireworks went off at exactly the time that they should, and we had this was a year that I was here in the studio. We had Rand Northam was our news director at the time, and he's with the town of Chapel Hill now, but he was on the scene. And like, how do you do a fireworks show on the radio? Like we had him there.
There's a blue one.
Basically,
there's a red
is what
one.
We
Ooh,
were
that's
doing.
A good one.
and then it was like, and that's the finale. All right, well, it was a great fireworks display. And then, like, they kept banging behind them, like, they'd brought up the lights and there were still fireworks going off. It was like, well, I'm not sure if this is supposed to be happening, but
That's
it looks
great.
Real cool. Yeah, it's always a lot of fun.
That it always is.
Yeah. Cool. So talking about the 4th of July, which is Independence Day, celebration of independence, freedom, liberty, freedom from the hated British.
Justice for all.
Justice for all.
Et cetera, et cetera.
I was running the watermelon eating contest, and the winner was British this year.
Yes,
which
yeah.
was great. A guy named Richard who came all the way over from England and then...
How did he get to be here? Was he? I mean, he wasn't here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't get the story. You just watched him eat the watermelon and gave a prize.
Who doesn't want to be in Chapel Hill on the 4th of July to see the fireworks at Keenan Stadium? People come from all over the
world
to be in that.
There you go.
And sometimes they participate in watermelon eating contests.
And be judged by you.
Sometimes they win. Yeah. America. Yeah.
There was something else going on this weekend other than celebrating our independence from the tyrants that were Britain.
Of course.
Right here, looking out the window,
uh-huh.
made me think about this. We launched the circulator.
Oh,
Saturday
that's right.
Morning.
Yes.
It was awesome.
At the farmer's market, right?
Yes.
Originally. Yeah. How did that go?
It was so much fun. We had so many people stop by. We sort of did a soft launch last week.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a public housing neighborhood, one of the Food for Summer sites. We stopped by the council meeting. We went to the movies. But Saturday was the big launch. And we set up the whole truck out there. We had cake. There was cake. It was
nice.
Awesome. I don't know.
I leave for a week, and there's cake, and there's a circulator, and man.
I don't know how many hundreds of people stopped by to see us, but it was an awesome
That's
event.
That's cool.
And my staff right now is out with our good friends out at Transit practicing driving the circulator, because in the coming weeks and months, you will see the circulator all over town.
Shouldn't you do that before the...
Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, whatever. We're getting there.
I mean, it's just down the road, I guess.
So, no, but, yeah. What we learned is the best way to practice on a big vehicle is to actually be in the big vehicle.
Right.
So we took some classes. We did some classroom training, but we were waiting for the circulator to actually get here. So I've been driving it a lot because I was like, I love
So what
driving
is that the equivalent
things.
Of? Is it like driving a school bus? Is it driving like a semi?
It's like driving a FedEx truck. So
wow.
you don't
okay.
need a special driver's license. To drive it. So it's like a 16-foot FedEx mail truck.
So like if you rent a U-Haul or something like that, like one of those big things, is it kind of along
but
those same lines?
But it's all one body. So
right.
U-Haul's got the cab and then the box.
Right.
This is the
Just
all
one
one
big
piece.
Thing.
It's called a step van.
All
it's
right.
a 16-foot Utilimaster Pro step van.
How
XL.
Much, you could be making so all of
I'm
that up.
I'm
I have
adding
no
a few
idea.
Words there. So, yeah, so the idea is that any number of staff could drive it to any number of places. Actually, I think it's going to be at the community center tomorrow for one of the Parks and Rec summer camps.
Okay,
We are upping our game with the circulator,
like,
and you'll be seeing it all over town.
So what's in the circulator for people who don't know?
Well, people don't get in it. We carry stuff to take stuff out. So at the farmer's market, we pretty much set up everything. We have really cool, this kind of like origami furniture that we set up. We have crafts for kids. We have computers, we have bookshelves, we have games, we have cornhole set up, we have all kinds of stuff, and cake. There was also, we set up cake.
Of course.
So we can bring any number of things out to the community.
It's just loading
just
new things
in, outdoor library,
depending on what you're going to.
So we brought like farm-to-table cookbooks and kids' farmer books for Saturday. We'll bring something different every time.
Cool. Is that for people to check out or just to look at? Or so
people can check out. There were lots of people Saturday who said, can I bring my books back?
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
In fact, you should.
Yeah, we ordered. You can actually order a mail slot return off of Amazon. And then if you have the grant money, you can pay an upfitter over in Garner to fashion it as a book return on the back of your new mobile truck. So there were tons of people Saturday who had library books in their car who said, let me go and grab it so I don't have to drive up the hill.
Nice.
And then they got the joy of actually putting them in the book drop on the back of the truck. It's super fun. So keep your eyes out for the circulator.
Speaking with Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library. So that's going on. I should also get the word out about the banned books trading cards.
Yes.
Because the submission for art is still ongoing.
The call
has
gone out for our fifth annual. This will be the fifth year that we've done this project. If you are an artist in Orange County, Durham, Alamance, Wake, and Chatham. It's a five-county call. You can submit a work of art based on a book that has been banned or challenged or an author that has been censored. And then we will hang them all in an exhibit in late September and then choose seven of them to be printed as trading cards. It's a super fun project that gets more and more popular every year.
Yeah, books and authors that have been challenged or censored. Not necessarily individuals that have been kept out of libraries, although if someone does that again, that might go viral the way
that
it did
last
year.
That's right. That's the other thing I got to do since we last saw each other on the show is I was in Chicago and I got to interview this civil rights hero who I never would have known about if it weren't for last year's banned book trading cards project.
Yeah, this was someone who submitted one that wasn't really in keeping with the rules, but it was a really
inspired
cool,
by a book or author, right?
Yeah, it was like individuals, like African-Americans who had been banned from whites-only libraries in the 60s and some people who had challenged that by going in and getting arrested. And
correct.
Yeah.
They're known as the Tougaloo Nine. And it was a great experience. So it's a great project, and every year there's some interesting connection that comes out of it. So that was last year's. I can't wait to see what happens this year.
Last year had my favorite one of all five or all 4 years, which was the Fun Home one someone had done a panel in the style of Alison Bechdel about Alison like being uncertain about going in which bathroom in North Carolina because of HB2.
That's right.
Like,
that was
how
great
perfect
one.
Was that?
That was a great one.
And it was like Alison Bechdel had done it. Like it was the same art style, like
the
same
coloring,
the shading, font of the lettering. Like I don't know how they were able to do that, but they did it. Cool. So that's going on. What's the deadline for submissions?
Details.
They've got a while.
It's in August. It's in mid to late August. We'll say late August.
Okay.
Usually, it's on our website, Aaron. I don't actually know these things. No, it is in late August.
Okay. So if you're an artist, get them in by the end of this month, just to be on the safe side.
And which they never do. I've learned.
Of course, all y'all artists.
I've done this project for 5 years in two different states. They always put it off to the last minute.
Oh no,
minute,
of course. I think
which
everyone
I get.
Is. Yeah.
I'm very similar.
I
but
do
it's
the same
so
thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't do like when I was doing the academic thing, and we were submitting for conferences, like to submit panels or submit papers. I don't think I ever submitted anything before the
11:58
last possibly
on the deadline.
I mean, sometimes it was 11:58 a.m., but it was definitely on the day.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely not. All right.
And
so
one thing to note is it's open to artists, as we say, artists of all ages and stages. Mm. So every year we get great entries from kids. We get great entries from sort of amateur artists, from professional ones. You could be 8 or 80. It's open to all.
Yeah. You might never have done any art at all in your life.
This could be your big break.
It could be. All right, cool. So let's talk about freedom and independence.
Freedom and independence,
books,
my friend.
Books related to freedom, independence, liberty, et cetera. What you got?
Okay, so two to start off with.
Okay.
Because I've got a total of four books. We
may not
get to them all.
Okay, I've got three, which is good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I wanted to literally, when you said freedom and independence, I thought of two books. Number one, both of these are novels. The first one is Independence Day by Richard Ford. Literally, and like that's our prompt. And mm-hmm. I said, literally, there's a book called Independence Day. And, Richard Ford is great. The novel came out in the mid-90s, and it's actually part of a trilogy or quartet now. It was the second one. His first book was called The Sports Writer. And Independence Day really, really got a lot of acclaim. And if you like John Updike. I cannot talk today. I'm having trouble with the words.
You're doing great.
If you like John Updike,
yes,
I got it out. you would like Richard Ford and this book. And it actually, I forgot, it won the Pulitzer Prize when it came out. But it's the novel follows this character named Frank, who's the sports writer of the first book. And it just takes him through his 4th of July weekend. So his relationship with his family, with his son, with his lover. And it's very much that John Updike kind of
feeling. Like a Rabbit Run kind of series.
Very
with
much.
That. Okay.
Very
yeah,
much
yeah.
so. And then the other one that I wanted to mention when I was thinking of independence and freedom, the other book that first popped into my mind is Freedomland by Richard Price. Richard Price is a wonderful sort of literary crime fiction guy. If you like The Wire, you would like Richard Price. He wrote a great book called Clockers and several others. But Freedomland, I think, is super relevant now because the book opens with a woman stumbling into a hospital. She's just been carjacked. She says that it was a young African-American man, and her child is missing, who was in the car with her. Mm. And the whole novel unfolds from that. So it's a crime story, but you get into he said, she said, race relations, the community kind of falls apart. It's a really good book. So two very different novels. One, if you like John Updike, Independence Day. The other one, if you like The Wire, urban fiction, great crime fiction, Freedomland by Richard Price.
Okay. I went with the more sort of non-fictional American history because I'm the American history nerd. I know, right?
I'm not sure how to take that.
There is an author named David Hackett Fisher who has written a couple of really, really great books about American history, and they're visual books. So they're long. They're kind of weighty books, but a lot of it is visual, so pictures and paintings and in this, like newspaper articles and just the way that they're presented visually, and in this case, symbols. So he wrote a book, I think his more famous one is called Albion's Seed, which I haven't actually read, but this one's called Freedom and Liberty, and it's all about the two kind of similar but competing concepts of freedom and liberty as they are manifested throughout American history, and there are different ways of conceiving of freedom and liberty. Like the word freedom and the word liberty, we think of them as meaning kind of the same thing, but they carry on kind of different connotations. Like liberty is a sort of libertarian absence of government, and freedom, you think of it and you associate it with like the civil rights movement and things like that. Even though they technically mean the same thing, they come from different language roots. Like one of them's from Latin and the other's from German. And they sort of get manifested in different ways at different times by different organizations. So this is a book all about the way that Americans and political figures, parties, and organizations have talked about and used the concepts of freedom and liberty to pursue their own ends and goals and interests, and the way in which they're depicted visually. So there are a lot of pictures and a lot of sort of physical representations, which is really cool.
So you just mentioned an obscure author who I think I actually had to read as an undergrad
yes.
studying history. As soon as you said David Hackett Fisher, I was
David
like,
Hackett Fisher, yeah.
I read something by him.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll have to recall what. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. He's a really, really good writer. And the fact that in this particular, like very, very few giant books about American history. And I can tell you from personal experience, because I've either read or own most of them, not very many of them are picture books. This one is. So I really recommend that one to anyone.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got two more. I'm also going to pair these together.
Okay.
Also more fiction. So this
okay.
is a good counterbalance okay. to your nerdy nonfiction. I mean, your fascinating, deep,
nerdy nonfiction. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Nerdy is defined by being fascinating and deep.
I love nerds. Yeah. I say nerdy as a term of endearment. I do. Okay, so
nerds have taken over the world.
That's right.
Up to a point.
Independence Day.
We're still working
land.
On the government. It's fine.
But, you know, I just recently read how they expect many more scientists to start running for office.
I have no doubt.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So the other two books on my list are also fiction, and then I was thinking about freedom and independence in literature and in fiction, and often it is there's a central female character mm-hmm. struggling to be independent mm-hmm. or struggling to achieve freedom. So I want to recommend two books. First of all, this one might be obvious, but I have to say it's one of my favorite, all-time favorite novels, Madame Bovary. Which
nice,
is sort of the
yeah.
ultimate woman struggling to find freedom and independence. When was it published? I had to look this up. 1856.
Oh, it was the 1800s?
Yeah, it was
the
mid-1800s.
Okay.
And it's, of course, the story of Emma Bovary. Mm-hmm. What I love about it, I reread it a couple years ago. There's a fairly new translation, and it made me realize how key the translation is to some of these books. But there's a recent translation that's wonderful. But what I had forgotten about the book is that the structure of it is so brilliant, because the first part of the book is really focused on the doctor that she ends up marrying.
Right.
And then as soon as they get together, the novel takes this shift, and it's really more about her point of view and her perspective. And so this doctor, who you think is not so awful, he's just kind of this bumbling country doctor, you get a much different perspective on him and the whole experience of their marriage. It's a great book. It's the ultimate tragedy. But when I thought of women struggling for independence and freedom, I thought of that one.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I want to recommend is super, I would say it could be even more obscure than some of your recommendations.
Uh-oh.
It's a book.
I got to step up my game.
That's
then.
Right. It's a book and a movie called My Brilliant Career. So I first saw the movie, which has Judy Davies in it and a young Sam Elliott. It is, and then I also found the book, but it's the story. It's set in the Australian outback in the late 1800s, and it focuses on, her name is Sybilla, and she's this wild tomboy, very creative, not very attractive. So at the time, her options were limited, and she yearns to be a writer and to get off the farm that she's raised on. And then, of course, in the course of her life, she meets a man who she falls for, and he falls for her, and she is presented with the option or with the decisions of, do I marry him and do the conventional thing? Do I pursue this independent life as a writer? And ultimately, she has to make a choice. So it's a wonderful movie. I think it's on Netflix still.
Okay.
And then the book is also called My Brilliant Career.
Very cool.
So good. All about a woman and her struggle for independence.
I just did a Google search for books about freedom, and one of the first ones that came up, sort of speaking of women seeking independence and freedom, is The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah,
of
absolutely.
Which the miniseries is just way taken off, but the book is great. Margaret Atwood's.
Oh, it's such a great book. I have not watched the miniseries.
I haven't either,
Actually, I love the older version of it with Natasha Richardson.
Like the movie?
What's his name? Robert Duvall.
I'm not
going to
know. Was Robert Duvall in that?
It was a TV miniseries, and it was great.
Interesting. So my second recommendation is the autobiography of Frederick Douglass, and I mentioned that just because Carborough does the reading every single year of the What to the Slave is the 4th of July speech, and I take part of that. It's a bigger and bigger event every year. They fill up the Century Center. It's great. And if you have not read the autobiography, you absolutely should. But the other recommendation that I want goes right along with women seeking independence. And it's a book that I got it in college. So I've had this book for close to 20 years now. And it's signed by the author, and the author is Jamaica Kincaid. So, like, really, really cool that I have a signed copy. But I got it at a reading, I got it signed, and then I just sat on it for 20 years. But I finally just read it over the weekend. It's a book called Annie John, which is, I think, her first novel.
I haven't read that one. I've read other things by her.
Yeah,
but not that
she's
one.
Written other books that are more famous. This is the one that this is the only one of hers that I've read, and I just finished it. It's a book about a girl growing up in Antigua, and it's all about her relationship with her mother. Like, just as she's growing up and coming of age and getting to the point of, like, leaving Antigua for life in Europe is how she starts out. But it's all about sort of the ambivalent sort of push and pull relationship between a mother and a daughter who love each other very fiercely and are very, very similar and therefore are constantly at odds. crowds and pushing back against each other. But it's a book that ends with her leaving Antigua and sort of thinking in her head that she's never going to come back, and the ambivalence of that, but still the connection that she has to her family and the community and everything, but still like pushing away and going off and seeking independence. But the relationship and the characterizations, and like, it's so specific, and in being so specific, it's so universal. I've read a couple of novels just over the weekend just because I've been trying to catch up, and none of them capture that sort of specific universality the way that Jamaica Kincaid does. It's so impressive.
And it's called what, Annie?
Annie John.
Annie John.
Just, that's just the main character's
name. It's a great
title. Yeah.
Annie John.
Yeah. It's so, so good. And you feel like you know, you feel like you've known these people all along, and you're reading about people that you've always known.
That's the best. And yeah, being able to sit down in the course of a weekend and finish a book, man.
It's very short. It's like 150 pages long. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah.
Awesome. You know, I was thinking we could do a whole rendition of this with just children's books, because freedom and
oh, yeah,
independence,
yeah,
is a huge theme there.
Yes.
The,
yeah,
first one that comes to mind for me is The Boxcar Children. Man, I love those.
I loved
books,
The,
right?
Boxcar Children.
They're still writing,
oh,
them.
Oh, I'm sure.
Somebody is.
Somebody,
yes,
is, yeah.
But yeah, that whole, like,
oh,
you wouldn't,
yeah,
actually want to be orphans living in a boxcar,
no,
but you kind of did when,
yeah,
you read
when
those
you were
books.
Reading those books, yeah, because they had
the
such an exciting life.
Yes.
And yeah. Oh,
yeah,
that's cool. All right, awesome. Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library, thank you so much.
See you next week.